If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming. They can be lumped together in many different ways. You know, a lot of the times it's like they're like eyebrows. They're cousins, not sisters.
Sisters, not twins.
They're sisters, not twins. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. We are always telling you guys to shoot your shot. So in every episode, we tell you about a listener who's done exactly that. This ep, we're shouting out Hannah from the US, who bought us 15 coffees. Hannah is single-handedly helping us make this episode. Thank you, Hannah.
So kind. She said, I started listening back in 2022 and secured my first internal job transfer to a different department. Fast forward to now, as we've always wanted to relocate out of state and decided that 2026 was the year. I applied for a job back in April, it's now the end of June, and didn't expect to hear much as it was kind of a stretch goal in a different state and a different industry than I currently work. The position had been open for several months because it was a new team they were building and wanted the right candidate, which was intimidating because I had to be the best of the best, not just the best candidate they were interviewing. After 3 weeks of nothing, I got a phone screening and had about a week to prepare. Through each stage of the process, I listened to tons of your podcast on phone screenings, perfecting the tell me about yourself, pep talks during the waiting game, how to talk about relocation, how to prep for multiple interview rounds, panel interviews, negotiating start date, and the importance of research. Proud to say that after a 2.5 month lengthy, intense job interview process, I received an offer at the very top of the salary range and was able to negotiate my start date to fit the move and a small break. Thank you, Interview Boss.
Oh my goodness. She's basically playing job search bingo.
So good.
She's relocated with a move, with a negotiation, with a long process, with multiple panels. I love her.
And she's an OG listener. Can you imagine how much the podcast has changed since she started listening in 2022? That was only a year after we launched compared to now, 6 or 7 years in.
I didn't even clock that. Honestly, do you ever sometimes want to go back and like re-record our early episodes?
Yes, but I think it's important for it to stay to show that everyone grows and progresses and gets better.
It is.
Just like your early interviews before you found us, we cringe at our early episodes.
And do you know what's interesting is that the advice still slaps. It's just that we were really timid and like, I don't know, we used to prepare a lot more closely of what we wanted to say. And I don't know, we just hadn't found our groove yet. So, wow, Hannah, you are absolutely a real one. Thank you for listening all that time. And congratulations on the move. I hope it goes really smoothly.
Before we get into this episode, if you need more help than we can fit in a podcast, go check out our website for free templates, coaching services, and our interview academy. Today, we are dedicating our episode to Shauna, who sent us this message. Hi, ladies. I'd love your advice or a segment on this one, please. I'm currently temping and really enjoying it. Coming from a toxic workplace previously, it gives me a chance to try it before I buy so that I'm not locked into a shitty culture. But I also love the variety it gives me in different industries. I do tend to get bored 12 to 18 months into a job, so temping could be a good long-term thing. I do love having the security of a permanent role, but if I could get back-to-back contracts, it's definitely something I would enjoy as I love to travel so I can travel between gigs without having to wait to build up annual leave. Do you have any advice on how to not trash your resume by doing this? That's my main concern. If I'm doing admin in different industries with different recruiters or company placements, what's the best way to reflect this on my resume? Should I list each role separately or have everything under a subheading of temping various companies, etc.? I hope that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought this was a great topic to talk about because I think this can be relevant to lots of different people. We've got a bit of a question of like, how do I put this on my resume? And I think we can work through some different scenarios and different ways to do this and what the pros and cons might be.
Yeah, important to firstly say that there is no one single way to structure your resume. It really depends on what you're applying for, what is the most relevant to be front and center, whether it's chronological or whether it's role-based, if you've had some variety in your career.
I think the only thing that I'm willing to go out on a limb and say is absolutely the wrong way is upside down. So when you put your oldest experience, like the first job you ever had at the top, that's absolutely wrong. Straight to jail. Don't do that. Anything else? Hey, someone might say that they don't like it. Someone else might say they do like it. It's going to be so subjective. The goal is to think about your experience. We're trying to explain your experience. We're not trying to fit your experience into someone else's template. We're trying to explain what you've done and to make it really clear so that someone who's reading it for the very first time doesn't know you, doesn't have any context, that they can very, very quickly get up to speed and understand, oh, yeah, I get what's going on here. And for some people, that's really, really easy. And the most straightforward way for them is going to be to follow the traditional layout with your most recent job at the top. And they're doing a full detailed section on each job that they've held and they're doing them in order. That's going to be the most easy way to be upfront because also everybody understands what to expect when they open a document that's structured in that way. So it's very easy for them to catch up. But if your experience doesn't fit like that, and that actually might leave someone a bit confused about what are all these different jobs? Like, what's going on here? What date was that? I'm getting really confused. Then maybe you want to do things differently. Maybe you need to split out all the projects that you've worked on. I've seen that in a lot of different industries where maybe they've had three jobs with three different companies, but in those companies, they've worked on 15 different large projects, like really common in maybe building industries. For example, maybe some people want to list the one company together, even though they might have had a couple of promotions in that role because they're all kind of very similar. So they put them all together. Maybe you're going to split out your promotion and have it as two separate jobs on your resume. Maybe you combine all your time at that company together. Maybe you did a little stint somewhere else in between. And so you, even though it was actually happened in two separate points of time, maybe you combine it together and just like give the whole time period. It's different ways of going about it depending on what your goals are.
I have an example of this. I was helping my partner build a resume recently. He is a carpenter. He was applying for a construction supervisor role. Now, I wasn't sure how to structure his experience because at his current company, he's a subcontractor where he works as a regular carpenter. But then a year ago, he managed and supervised a role. So that was kind of its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to just lump it in together because since we were applying for this supervisor role, I really wanted to highlight his supervisor experience. So I ended up putting that up the top.
And it's like, it was kind of different. Him being in a different kind of capacity.
So I put leading hand carpenter, and even though that was April 2023 to 2024, so it wasn't the most recent experience, but I put it there on its own section. And then in the next section, I put his regular carpenter day job, and then I put his sole trader stuff that he does on the weekends after that, and then I went chronologically after that. So it really is just a case-by-case basis.
And it's a strategic decision, right? Like you want to be a little bit careful about, you don't want to do maybe two of those jobs together before you put the one that you're currently in, because then it might look like you haven't worked since then. Do you see what I mean? Like where we're introducing confusion again? Our goal is to explain really clearly and use it strategically, depending on what our goals are, but we don't want to introduce confusion. So making sure that you've got that role underneath it so that all you had to do was look down. Oh yeah. Okay. So he's still here, but this was a little stint. Yep. That's at the top. It makes sure that it kind of jumps out on the resume. Love it. See, it all depends on your goals. If he wasn't applying for a supervisor role and he was going for something else a bit different, you might have chosen to lump them in together, or you might have chosen to put it below. Like you might have changed the way that you did your bullet points. It depends on kind of what you're going for. And I think in Shauna's case here, I think if she wants to keep going for temp jobs, I think that's one approach versus if she was writing a resume to secure a perm job, then that might mean that you choose things a little bit differently. Like, I think her goal would probably influence, you know, the way that she would go about this as well.
Yeah. If she was going for a full-time job, maybe she would do it by company and do headings of the different contracts to kind of show, look, I was with this one company for a very long time, maybe to show continuity.
Or maybe with the perm role, I think like with a perm role, they're more so looking for your specific experience. Whereas with a temp, you will kind of take, okay, they've generally got some experience in these areas. That's fine. We just need some help. Like they're not expecting you to have done exactly this before. Whereas with perm, they might be a little bit more choosy in terms of wanting you to have experience in this particular system or, you know, dealing with maybe bookkeeping type stuff. So maybe splitting things out and going into more detail would allow her more opportunity to kind of say, yeah, well, I actually did a 4-month contract at this bookkeeping company and here's all the things that I was doing there. Whereas to get a temp role, that might not be super relevant. Like she might just be talking in general about all the different types of tasks that she's capable of doing.
You could also ask the opinion of your temp recruiter. You could do up a couple of different versions and get them to actually recommend which one is the best to go with. They work day in and day out with other temp people in your industry, so they'll know what the clients care about and what's most helpful in that situation.
Yep. I think that works particularly well because they will be the one representing you to those companies. And so they'll know what they need on there in order to be able to help you get that job or land that next gig.
Okay, so let's get into the different options that we have. You can group them together under one job.
Yep. I think a really easy way to do this is, let's say most of the contract gigs that Shauna was doing was with a single recruitment agency. She could list them as her employer. And actually that, in a lot of these cases where you're working as a temp, that is actually the case. You're actually paid by the recruitment agency. They are the one, you know, that you are employed by. You're just placed at all these other different places. So she could list, you know, the recruitment company at the top and say, you know, the total dates that she had been doing temp work with them, and then kind of group the responsibilities together and keep them general. Or you could kind of pick from a couple of different contracts, like have done work including this and including this, and like just pull them from all the different contracts that you've done. Like what's the best of that period of time? I think the jobs need to be similar though. She did say that they're all admin, so I really do think that there'd be a lot of stuff, you know, in common. You could list the exact companies if you wanted to as well. You could say have been placed at companies including this, whether you list them all or you just list a couple of the key ones that you were at the longest is kind of up to you. You could put the dates in if you wanted to, but again, I think that's a decision that you can make depending on what works. And yeah, I think this is a really strong option.
Yeah, the pros of this is that you're not skimping on detail, but you can do it in a lot less space. It's condensed. And if you've been doing a lot of short-term contracts, this might be particularly helpful because it could get really long really quickly, which I think was Shauna's concern about just having an enormous all over the place resume that's hard to follow. But we wouldn't recommend this.
What did you say? Destroy, what, not to trash my resume.
Yes. But we wouldn't recommend this if the contracts that you've done are really different in terms of responsibilities. It might be hard to show all of the experience you've had and you don't want to lump them together and, yeah, miss out on conveying the depth of what you did.
Yeah, like it might be really tricky if you've done, you supported an HR team over here and then you supported a bookkeeping company and then you supported a law firm and then you were front of house somewhere. Like they might be just really, really quite different bullet points that you'd be really kind of stretching to say a whole bunch of that. But if there's heaps of stuff that like comes up again and again, great. I think grouping them together is a great way to go.
Leveling up your job interview skills is the kind of thing that will pay off for the rest of your career. When you prep properly, it's something you can use over and over and over again. Think promotions, unexpected layoffs, and when you're ready for your next move in a few years.
Enter our course, Interview Academy. It's a clear, easy-to-follow interview prep structure. Everyone loves the cheat sheet. Filling in each box is super satisfying and helps you focus on the important thinking, not the process. Find out whether it's right for you, interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. The link will be below.
All right, option two is to group them together in smaller chunks.
So yeah, this is a really similar concept to what we just talked about, but you don't have to put every single one of your short-term contracts under the one group. So maybe you've had one or two larger ones that you'd like to highlight, and then maybe you group the rest of them together. Or maybe you worked for two different recruitment companies, and so you put them into two groups. Or maybe they were two kind of broad categories of industries that you've worked in, so you group them that way. You could do a bit of a mix of approaches. I don't think it really has to be, you know, one or the other, like do them one by one or all together. I think you can think about them depending on what works for you. Like, was there a whole bunch of time where you did lots of different short things together? That's the perfect opportunity to condense that section down.
I just had another personal example from my own resume that fits under this category. I am a freelance writer, and it's just something I do on the side. And I didn't know how to put this on my resume either, because I have one main client that I regularly write for, and then I have one that I used to do. They show very different things. One is a local arts and culture magazine that I do like feature style articles for, and another is for like a rural agricultural company, and I'm doing like case studies and testimonials on their website.
Almost more like marketing or sales, yes, kind of writing.
Which those are very different, but very great and varied and show my different skills. But I didn't really want to take up the hot two entire sections because it's not that in depth, I guess. So on my resume, I have the company name as various publications and then my title, freelance writer. And then I have a couple of sentences that says, I write long form feature articles for the magazine. I explain what it is. I also produce digital content, blah, 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 for this company that does agriculture. Then I have a heading for the magazine, and I have two bullet points that are specific about what I do for that. And then the heading for the ag company and two dot points that are specific about what I do there. So I've lumped them together.
Love it. Because it depends on what your goal is. Like if you were going for a writing job, suddenly you're going to be splitting them apart, right? Because you're going to want to take the time to really expand on what each of those things gave you experience in. But if you're not, and it's a bit of a side thing, and it's like interesting, but not the main point of what you're doing, you're probably going to be wanting to focus on other things. And it's not somewhere you want to spend a lot of time on your resume. So I think that's a really great way to kind of learn. Again, when we're thinking about going for a temp job, they might be less interested in every single contract you've had and every single thing that you've been responsible for. Whereas perm roles, they tend to be maybe spending a little bit more time and looking at each resume, spending a bit more time considering each candidate, to be honest, more rounds of interviews and all that kind of thing, because they're taking more time to get it right. And so, yeah, hence how your approach could be different. Now, our next option, you could leave them in a traditional order with the company and the dates and the details for each temp contract.
The regular way, if you will.
Yeah, the normal way. It didn't really sound like this is what suits Shauna's situation. Man, try and say that quickly. Suits Shauna's situation.
Suits Shauna's situation.
Come on, Em, have a go.
Suits Shauna's situation.
Ah,
see? She sells seashells by the seashore.
That's really hard. I used to be really good at the one that's like, Betty bought a bit of butter, but the bit of butter Betty bought was bitter.
You stuffed it up. Betty bought a bit of butter, but the butter that Betty bought was bitter. So Betty went and bought some better butter to make the bit of butter better.
No, she didn't went and bought some.
She put a
that
bit of butter.
It.
She put a bit of the better butter in the bit of butter to make the bit of butter better.
Love that little segue. So I don't think this suited Shauna's situation, but if you were someone who was a little bit different to Shauna, because this isn't all for Shauna, this is for you guys listening as well, maybe you had a couple of months with each temp contract that you were doing instead of just a couple of weeks each. And maybe you really did want to highlight each of the different contracts that you had because there was some really great stuff that you were learning there. I think this would be maybe more relevant if you were going for that perm job, or if there was a contract that you really wanted and one of the temp gigs that you'd done was super, super transferable, where you'd done almost the same thing before and you wanted to really expand on the details of what that included. I think that would be the way to go. Now, I wanted to make a note here and throw this out that this might be helpful to create even if it's not the one that you're choosing to send to people. I think it's handy to have a full traditional build out of all your experience. kind of like a master, because first of all, if you end up changing the way that you want to present things, you've got the source detail. Like if you combine all your temp gigs together and just put them together as one on your resume, but then you change your mind later and you want to split them out for a certain reason, you might have forgotten what the details were of each of those roles or what the dates were or something like that. So I think it's handy to have some kind of a master with the details broken out for the contracts that you've done, just in case you need it. Also, if someone was to ask you, you could even put this on like a shortened version, you know, additional details broken down of each contract upon request, like happy to provide further details. And then if someone asked a question about it, oh, what were these dates? What happened here? Blah, blah, blah. You can follow up with this if you need to.
Yeah. Even just for your tracking to be able to quickly reference in chronological date order, super helpful. Fourth option is to actually do up a table. This is fun. This is for all the spreadsheet people. So you could have it just up front in a table, and the different columns would be company, role, start date, contract length or contract type. Now, this feels crazy to me, but you have seen this done plenty of times in the contract world.
So I've seen it done in plenty of different kinds of contexts. So in contracting, I've seen it done also in construction. So let's say if your partner was going for a construction role, like you were talking about, but maybe the company was really interested in the types of work that he delivered, like understanding if there were renovation projects and what the value was or what the scope was. Like, did it involve, you know, a full indoor rebuild, or did it involve, you know, entire decking area, or did it involve, you know, a large shed or whatever? It can be helpful to kind of see from a different perspective instead of laying things out by like, what company were you working for? It's like, well, regardless of what company, what were the individual projects that you've been a part of? And I think this works for a couple of those different types of contexts. It can also work to really summarize all the different contracts that you've had. So I think what this is doing is kind of breaking up what someone is looking for from your resume. Again, we're going for clarity. We're going for understanding and trying to avoid confusion. So up front, we're saying, here's every company, every date, the order that they're all in, chronological order. Here's all of that detail together. And then what you're doing is saying, separately, I'm going to give you different details about what I'm capable of, but just in a different structure. Like, you're kind of separating those two bits of information. Normally you get them at the same time, all intertwined. You're kind of separating that information out and saying, here's my employment history. This is like a reference table if you ever wanted to see.
A glossary, if you will.
Yeah, like an at a glance kind of thing, like an overview. And it can be really helpful if they get a bit confused about the dates or the things that you're actually breaking down, you know, in your sections. It's going to make it easy for someone reading to get a sense of what's going on. It also really gives off transparency as well. I like this way of thinking about things. I don't think it necessarily suits everyone, because one of the other methods might be a better fit for what you're trying to do. But let's say you wanted, like, you really cared about listing all the companies that you'd done contracts with. Maybe there were some really great companies in there that people might be like, oh, that's really cool. But some of them you were only there for a short time. So even though you want the company on there, you don't really want to have to, you know, go into a whole bunch of detail about it. I think this could be a really great way to do that, to be like, look at all the wonderful places I've worked. And then later on, I'm going to show you the types of skills that I've demonstrated.
I like this as an add-on option, because with my partner in mind, he could do the regular resume, and then maybe the table could be for more detail about each job. So it could be like the name of the project, and then it could be like architectural four-story build with swimming pool, and then the next job could be like fibro home renovation, and that could show the depth of experience, which you're not going to go into with it laid out the regular way.
Yep, exactly. I find that really, really helpful. And like I say, I saw it a lot in those kinds of industries where your job is the same. It could even make sense if you were working in consulting or something like that, where you're still working for the same company, but you've worked on a couple of different projects and you've been placed here and placed here and placed here. Like, in your job, you're talking about, I work with clients, I achieve this, I whatever, but you might want to separately kind of pull out all the projects. So you could do that underneath the job itself, or maybe it makes sense to kind of combine them all together and say, well, I've worked on all these different projects, some of them myself, some of them, you know, working for this company, some of them working for that company, but let me put them all here to show you, here's the breadth of stuff I've done. I have done four story. I have done, you know, volume homes. I have done a swimming pool. I have done, you know, whatever. And you wouldn't list every single one necessarily, but it's a really great option. Then if you wanted to do this and you did your kind of employment history up front in a table, in the details, you could just go into the notable contracts if you wanted to. So you could kind of pull out a couple of them and then give details, or you could do a combination of some of the other strategies that we talked about. Maybe you do the employment history in a table up front, then you do like a combined job that talks about here's all my temp stuff and here's in general the skills that I've held. And then maybe before that, you then include all your permanent roles that you might have had previously. All different combinations.
So the key message is there's no one size fits all. Do some thinking about how you can best convey your experience. They can be lumped together in many different ways. You know, a lot of the times it's like they're like eyebrows. They're cousins, not sisters.
Sisters, not twins.
They're sisters, not twins. Or some people's eyebrows are cousins, not sisters.
Yeah. Do you know, you once told me that I have eyebrow dysmorphia, and I've never, ever forgotten that. Every time I comb my eyebrows in the mirror, I think about how you told me I have eyebrow dysmorphia.
You do have eyebrow dysmorphia. Sarah can't leave the house without doing her eyebrows, and they could be like perfectly plucked, like shaped. They look fine, and she feels like she has 2000s like skinny eyebrows. It's crazy.
No, I just need to like fill them in a little bit. Like they're just a little bit gappy. Like they're not thin. They're like, they're just, you know.
They're thick.
Could be filled in a little bit in their little sparse spots. But that's my one thing of like, if you leave the house with just one thing on, what's it going to be? It's going to be eyebrows every single time. And like, I don't know, once you've seen how much a difference they make, how do you go back?
I'm happy to report that I'm out here raw dogging life with untouched eyebrows. And when I go out, nothing bad's ever happened. I'm good.
Nothing bad.
I get them waxed and tinted, but I'm not combing them in between day trips.
Well, apparently that's eyebrow dysmorphia. No, I think the real eyebrow dysmorphia is the people who go online for something unrelated and everyone is telling them, oh my gosh, your eyebrows are too far apart or too close together or whatever it might be. And they're like, oh my God, I don't understand. You guys just won't stop commenting about my eyebrows. And then they finally start to maybe consider, and then they eventually slowly change them. And everyone's like, oh my God, thank you. We fixed it. And it's like everybody, you know, they're not bullying them. They're just like, go, you need to know.
No, the internet collectively did its job.
Yeah. And everyone feels really proud at the end. And they're like, hey, we made a difference. We helped someone see that their eyebrows were something.
All right.
Just like us. We're just, you know, the friend that's telling you the thing that you need to know. It's not necessarily what you asked for, but it's what you need to hear.
But we'll tell you.
We will tell you. I'm going to tell you if your eyebrows are too far apart or if your resume is upside down.
If your resume is trashed.
Don't trash your resume like Shauna. Hopefully something we talked about suits Shauna's situation.
She sells seashells.
Thanks for listening to Interview Boss. If you want to request an episode on your specific conundrum or industry, send us the details, email us or slide into our Instagram DMs. But if you DM us on Instagram and you're not following us, Emma won't be happy and she will judge you.
I really will.
We believe in paying it forward, so if we've helped you, spread the word. You know the drill. Follow, review, find us on Instagram, LinkedIn. It really, really helps us. Or go the old school way and tell someone else about the show. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.